This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So I want you to join us, even as we lift up worship unto Him.
You, Lord, you are worthy, and no one can worship you for me. For all of the things you you've done for me. And no one can worship you for me. Here is my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship. Here is my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship, all of my worship. Lord, here is my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship.
With a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears have gone, you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Child of God, from my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through.
Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that we can make the confession that we are the children of God. We are no longer slaves to fear. We are no longer slaves to our mindset. For we know we are born of you. In the name of Jesus, you saved us and you welcomed us to your kingdom. That we can be sons and daughters, that we can be heirs with Christ. And we give you glory and praise for that. Thank you for today. Thank you that you have planned and purpose to speak to us. We wait in silence that we may hear from you, that we may hear your heart for our lives. In the name of Jesus, may your word bring transformation in our lives. May it change our perspective and how we perceive things. Give you glory, give you all the honor and the praise.
In Jesus' name, amen. My name is Urbanus Kio. I'm originally from Kenya, but residing in the Netherlands since 2018. I thank God for the opportunity to share with you the Word of God. And I want to personally thank the leadership of the church led by Pastor Ndakian and Rene, who are currently in South Africa, for the opportunity to share with us. And do not take this one for granted. And I sincerely thank God for the grace. Today I want us to talk about serving the purpose of God in the Spirit. And the topic of my sermon is I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And to begin with, God has a purpose for each one of us in this life. And some of us have been called to be ministers, others have been called to be evangelists, others have been called to sing, to serve, to rule, to testify and do many other things. And we see it throughout the Bible, from Genesis through to Revelation. God had a purpose for everyone. And he communicated this purpose through the Spirit, through His Spirit. And dilemma comes in whereby, how can we hear or know the purpose of God? Or how can we commune with the spiritual God, or God who is far above our imagination and our natural selves? And it is difficult for us to, if in our natural selves as men, it's difficult to hear God who is spiritual. And because the Bible says, like, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in the spirit and in truth. And we read this in the book of John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. This is Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. When the woman told him, us Samaritans worship in this mountain. But you and Jews say that worship should be conducted in Jerusalem. And then Jesus comes and say, surely I tell you, like, a time is coming and it's now, that true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in the truth. Jesus, in other words, was like saying, the building or the place of worship is not important, but how you worship is what matters. And he told the woman, like, God is spirit. God is not physical. God is not natural like us. God is spirit. And to commune with a spiritual God, you need to be spiritual as well. I can give a testimony of when I received the Holy Spirit. This was after high school. Before that, I used to go to church. I was religious. I would go to churches and home. But I had not experienced a transformation in my heart. I was like another person, another body going to church as a norm on Sunday for 2 or 3 hours and then going back home and then living the old life. But when I received the Holy Spirit, something in me changed. I felt it even physically, from the soles of my feet to my forehead. I felt some transformation and a change of how I perceived things and this life. And then I came to know, like, life is more spiritual than we take it. Life does not just happen. Our life is controlled by the spiritual realms. And it is my plea to the brethren that we may endeavor to live led by the Spirit of God. But how do we receive the Spirit? Just to a quick mention. And I'm reading this one from the book of Acts. chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the apostles. After persecution had begun in Jerusalem, they went to the place they called the upper room, where they were gathered together for fear of persecution. And as they waited for the promise of Jesus Christ, because he told them during the Pentecost, the Spirit will come. And then the day comes, and the Spirit descends upon them, and they are filled. To connect with God, we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. I think this one goes without saying. We need an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then after the infillings, we begin to live as the Spirit guides us. We see this, the apostles. And when the Spirit came upon them, he empowered them to serve in their respective ministries. We see Peter, who was taught by Jesus, like he was kind of the leader of the church. And this leader of the church is one of the apostles who are living in the upper room for the fear of persecution. And we see prior to this day, in John chapter 21, Peter said to the apostles, "I'm going back to fishing." He kind of never understood the ministry of Jesus after staying with him for almost like 3.5 years. He tells these guys, "Come on, I'm going back to fishing." And then they say, like, "We are coming with you." And then they go back to fishing. And then they toil all night without getting anything. And then Jesus appears and he tells them, "Cast the nets to the right." And then they do it at the word of Jesus. And the Bible records that they caught so many fish that their net did not break. And then John tells Peter, "This one must be the Lord," referring to Jesus. And then Jesus had a conversation with Peter, like, "Do you love me than this?" There has been a lot of commentaries talking about, "Do you love me more than this? What is this?" Okay, my perspective is like he was asking, "Do you love me than what you do? Do you love me than your career?" The career of Peter was fishing. "Do you love me more than fishing?" And then Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But during the Pentecost, after Acts chapter 2, we see like after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they are speaking in tongues, and people were asking them questions. One person said, like, "These men must be drunk." And then Peter rises up and then says, "We are not drunk. This is a revelation of what is spoken in Joel chapter 2, that the Spirit shall come upon men." And this is what is happening. A person who had gone back after the infilling of the Holy Spirit is empowered to even speak before a congregation. And the Bible records that that day, 3,000 people came to Christ. They were empowered. They were kind of, before, not appreciating the ministry of Jesus. But these are people, after the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they are full of zeal. They are speaking about the resurrected Christ with power and manifestation. And then after chapter 2, in chapter 3, they heal the lame man by the temple. And then they are arrested, they are beaten, and then they are told to not speak in the name of Jesus. But Peter says, like, "Choose between yourselves. Will we listen to men, or we are going to listen to God?" I love such boldness. That is what we receive when we receive the Holy Spirit. And then they witnessed Christ with more power even. And the Bible records like 5,000 people came to Christ after the healing of the lame man at the temple. And to me, it's such a huge transformation from a person who is so timid to a person who is courageous, like telling the authorities, like, I don't care. I'm going to listen to God. I'm not going to listen to men. And we see like 8,000 within a very few days, 8,000 men come to Christ. So what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to do the will of the Father, the purpose of God in our lives. And to be honest, we will all struggle with your ministry if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to just saturate you, that you hear from him what you should do, you will struggle. These guys really struggled. And then I want to like just pick up few biblical examples of people who served their purpose in life under the influence of the Holy Spirit and how it worked. And the first character I'll pick is John, that beloved apostle of Jesus Christ. And John was appointed to like receive the revelation of what shall happen in the future. And the first statement he says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I have underlined the word like, I was in the Spirit in the day of the Lord. And my question to you will be like, when do you receive your plans from about this life, about the ministry, or about your day-to-day life? When do you receive the plan from? John records like, I was in the Spirit. He was not operating in in his natural self. He was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And he says like, I heard. He was not hearing from a man. He was hearing from God. Because he was in the spiritual realms. And he was able to commune with God. And then the Bible records and says like, what you see, write in a book and send to the seven churches. John was not sending to the churches his strategic plan about how a church should be run, of how things should go, of how worship should be conducted. No, he was listening from the throne itself. It was sort of like what you hear and what you see, write. And therefore, brethren, we can never run a church as another religious organization. No, we will run the church as the Spirit leads us. What we hear and what we see, it's what we are going to do. If he says, go right, you go right. If he says, go left. If he says, go to Utrecht alone and evangelize, you go. You don't have to come with a plan on Thursday. I will go, and I think I will go from the train station. No, you hear from him, and then do what he says. And then from Revelation chapter 4, 1 and 2, he says, after these things I looked and behold, and doors standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit and beyond a throne in heaven, and one sat on the throne. John was saying like, I was in the spirit immediately and beyond. To be honest, to see. Then he saw the one who sat on the throne. Obviously, this is God. So John was in communion. And every time he says, like, I heard a voice telling me, rise. You realize, like, he says, like, I was in the spirit. It's not something which was coming naturally, like, from self or from self-revelation. It was something which was coming from the revelation of the Holy Spirit. First, he receives a message to the churches, and then he's told, like, I will give you a message about what shall happen in the future. And to be honest, John served God's purpose truly in the Spirit. And that's why we emulate his example in our lives, in our day-to-day walk with Christ. So the natural man must be transformed by the infilling of the Holy Spirit so that the spirit man can commune with a spiritual God. It's difficult for a carnal, let me use for lack of a better word, man to commune with a spiritual God. Of course, if we are even in a normal conversation, when we are together and we are talking, we have to be a level together so that we may understand each other. And it comes like, even when I speak to my landlord, because she can't speak in English and I can't speak in Dutch, we never come to an agreement because our language levels are different. So we must speak the same language. And this language is the language of the Holy Spirit. There's no shortcut. The church will always struggle if the church is doing religious activities. It's like doing churches no more. And I call this one playing church. And not like working under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And another example I can quote is an example from the Old Testament of a person who started well with the Spirit. And this was King Saul. The Bible records like King Saul was the first king in Israel. And then God sent Samuel to go and anoint him to be king over Israel. So his purpose was to serve as an earthly king. And to serve as a king over the children of Israel. But then this comes from 1 Samuel 10, 5 to 6. It says, this is Samuel talking. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen, when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments, a tambourine, a flute, and an harp before them. And they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be turned into a different man. This is after the anointing rested upon this guy. And then Samuel tells him, like, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be transformed to a different man. You will be transformed from your natural self, the son of Kish, to the God's anointed one, to serve the purpose of God. And when you read the verses below, this is exactly what happened. This guy started prophesying with them, and he was filled by the Holy Spirit to serve his purpose on earth as the king of the children of Israel. And then we come to the New Covenant Church. That is the church which was led by Peter and the other apostles. And I'll read from Acts chapter 4, 31 to 33. It says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. and great grace was upon them all. What do you see here? I said before, like, when you're filled by the Holy Spirit, your natural self is transformed to another person. And there's the main verse here which says, all those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Nathan did then any say the things he possessed was his own. A lot of the contemporary church, especially in Africa, doesn't like this verse. You hear like the things which he possessed belong to them all. Because of individualism and the possessiveness mindset. Not unless someone is transformed, is changed from the natural self. You will never let go something which you have worked for so hard. Because the Bible records, like, they sold their land, they sold their things, and they brought them to the feet of the apostles. And everything that they own belongs to each other. That's how it should be in a church. Church that is led by the Spirit. We should not withhold our things from our brothers. When the way you, like, you cannot withhold something in the natural self, you can't, like, watch your brother, your blood brother suffer when you have something. It's the way it should be happening in the church of God. We help the needy, we fellowship together, we take tea and coffee together. If I have a bike, I can assist my brother with one and not ask them for like a monthly contribution or something. The things that they owned belonged to one another. Their mindset and perspective about things changed completely. And the Bible says, like, they gave witness of the resurrected Christ with great power, and grace was upon them. They were not doing things out of the struggle, out of the flesh. Grace was upon them. Service with grace. Preaching about Christ with a lot of grace. And this is the church that we should look up to. And we see they never did anything without first consulting with the Holy Spirit on the way they should go. The way I said, like, it's good to have strategic plans. I think our brother Christo preached about our 5,000-year plan. It's good to have a plan. But if this plan is not based on what God is saying, okay. I don't want to sound arrogant, but it will not yield fruit. Our strategic plans, our plans for this life and the ministry must be based on what God says. Because this is the church of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God should give us direction on what we should do. And we see Acts chapter 13, 1 to 3 says, now the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manane, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. It's church. They are in a service. They are fasted, they are praying, they are worshiping. And then the Holy Spirit says, separate Paul. Initially he was called Saul, and Barnabas, because I have a special task for them. They listened what the Lord said. Do this. And this is exactly what they said. Having fasted and prayed. Like, in other words, they like got a confirmation. They laid hands on them and sent them to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is how ideally we should lead our lives. And they never compromised this. We see it throughout the book of Acts, because Acts is like where the early church began. They never compromised hearing from the Holy Spirit and doing what they think is good for the church. And then, to quote another example, we see Simon Peter, when he received a vision. One day he was praying, he became angry, and then he received a vision of some food descending from heaven. And then in the Jewish culture, there were some things you were not supposed to eat. And then all the things which are coming in the Jewish culture, they were unclean. Then the person who was doing it, the person he saw in the vision would tell him, arise, kill, and eat. And then this guy was like, he would say like, I cannot touch anything that is unclean. I am a Jew. I'm not supposed to do that. Then this happened for 3 times. Arise, kill, and eat. And he did not do it. Then the Spirit spoke to him. And this is in Acts chapter 10. You can see for yourself, Acts chapter 10. But I'm read verse 19 and 20. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, 3 men are seeking you. Arise and therefore go down. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." This guy was in the Spirit. He was fasting. He was praying. He receives a vision. And then the Spirit tells him, like, arise and go with these men. And then this vision was about Cornelius. Cornelius was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And then Peter was sent to him to, like, go and evangelize to him that he would receive Christ and the Holy Spirit. So we see the contrast, like, a Jew should not touch unclean things. In other words, they should not mingle. They were not allowed to mingle with the Gentiles. That's why the apostles were so surprised when they found Jesus speaking to a Samaritan woman, because those were considered like Gentiles. And then here Peter is sort of like to go to a Gentile. It never made any sense. But the Spirit tells him, you have to go with those men. What did Peter do? He accepts to go. So the way I've said, like, things which seem like awkward or weird in the natural self, when you are compelled to the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit to do them, He will give you grace to do them. This guy should not mingle with a Gentile, but he sent one to evangelize to him. And then he arrives, he introduces himself, and then he shares the vision. We are not supposed to, like, mingle. But the Spirit spoke to me. And then he speaks about Christ to them. He preaches to them. And the Holy Spirit descends upon all of them, like the Gentiles and the Jews. And they receive the Holy Spirit. And then Peter baptizes them. And they are now saints in the kingdom of God. So, whatever he says, just do it. And I know we are asking ourselves, like, which day was John referring to when he was saying, I was in the Spirit in the day of the Lord? I want to highlight to you, like, it's not a specific day. Like, it is any day in our lives. Like, when the Spirit tells you to do something, just do it. Doesn't matter on Sunday, or Monday, or whatever. Any day is the day of the Lord. Every day is a day of worship. We don't have a specific day. Okay, we have institutionalized Sunday as the worship day, but it doesn't matter. You worship every day, Monday, Tuesday, whatever. Even if we decide to, like, move the service from Sunday to Wednesday, it's absolutely correct. It is any day. And the last example we will have a look at is Philip. And we read this in Acts chapter 8, 26. Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, along the road that goes down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and beyond a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, and Kades, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, arise. The Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. This was also a Gentile. He was not a Jew. He was reading from a script of prophet Isaiah. And then Philip was compelled to go on that way. And then after seeing this chariot, the Spirit said to him, go near and overtake this chariot. And then he asked him a question like, do you understand what you are reading? And then he says like, how will I understand if someone does not guide me? Then Philip guides him. He tells him about what prophet Isaiah is talking about. He's talking about Christ. And then this man accepts Christ. And Philip baptizes him. And after baptizing him, he is taken by the Holy Spirit from where the guy was. And it's my prayer that we will be obedient to what God says to us, like the apostles did, without compromise. Like, my prayer is that we will all be saying, like, I was in the Spirit, and the Lord said to me, genuinely. We can all hear God. We don't have to, like, go to the pastor and ask him, like, hear God for me and tell me what he's saying. No. Of course, God can use the pastor to communicate a message to you. But you have the free will. You have the freedom to go before the Lord and ask him, Lord, what is your purpose for my life? Show me, I want to know. And we can confidently say, the Lord spoke to me and said to me, go to Maastricht. And in Maastricht, you'll meet this guy, and this is what you are going to tell him. He will compel you when you are walking on the way and tell you, this guy is suffering from this and this. You need to tell him this. And we have so many examples of brethren who have been used in that way by the Lord. You are walking on the way, and then the Lord tells you, like, pray for this person, for this and this and this. And then you speak to the person, and you realize it's true. So it's a call for us to, like, change the way we do ministry, the way we do church, to a new perspective. This is what the Spirit of the Lord says to us. And we will do it with a lot of joy, with a lot of ease, than when we are just planning and writing down things. Same with our own personal lives. If you are just like writing down plans, scheming up your life in 5 years, no, it will be difficult. I sometimes do it. I'm not condemning it. I do it. And recently I had written one about myself, my work, and my family. But then all I had planned never happened. And now I had to rethink and go back to the drawing table. Lord, when do you want us as a family? Lord, when do you want us, when do you want me in my career? And he will communicate to you very clear. He will give you a step by step. And one problem that the contemporary Christians want is like the life of shortcuts. Like, you want it easy. No, the Lord doesn't communicate that way. It is step by step by step. And what is the Lord doing with us in this step by step thing? He's testing our obedience. Perhaps if God gave us like our life, the glimpse of our life, all at one go, we would like panic or stop believing or something. But it takes us step by step by step. So it starts from receiving the Holy Spirit in feeling. Then you can commune with God. And then you can live in the Spirit. And then you get empowered by the Spirit to do the work. And the first person who was who is our example? We follow Christ, he's our example. After baptism, when he came in the flesh, he had to be empowered. After baptism, the Holy Spirit descends upon him. He says, like, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. He received empowerment to do the ministry. Although he was God coming in form of flesh, he needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The disciples had gone back. They were not confident. But after the infilling, they received power and the boldness. It is same with us. It is difficult. Even to stand here is difficult, not unless like the Holy Spirit convicts you to do it. So, as I end and summarizing everything, I will show you some biblical examples of people who were like empowered. And just like, it's a table of the things that I've talked about. We see King Saul, I say like he was empowered to become the king of God's people. Jesus Christ, he was empowered to reach to the Jews and save mankind from the destruction that is brought about by sin. John the Apostle, he was empowered to become an apostle, to go preaching and planting churches. And then he was also empowered to reach nations and receive the revelation of Jesus Christ for what is to come during the latter days. Peter was empowered to pastor the church and to become an apostle. Paul, the same, to reach the Jews and the Gentiles. And the early church, to reach nations and to establish a Christ-like church. That's the church that we follow today. So as I conclude, my prayer and my asking is that if we are to serve effectively, we need the Holy Spirit in us. We need the empowerment. We need to do that purpose in the Spirit as the Spirit leads us. So in conclusion, we can all say like, I was in the Spirit in the day of the Lord, and God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit said, go. Or he said like, do this and this. Do this and this. Abolish this. So it can be anything. So let us endeavor to live led by the Spirit. And when I was praying in the morning, the Spirit speak to me like, there are some people, some of us who struggle to understand what their purpose is in the kingdom of God. What your purpose is. What has God called you to do? God has not called you to be an idler in church. It's good to come to church, but he has called you to serve a specific purpose. Maybe singing or dancing or raising the flag or whatever. Do something, evangelize, or give something. There is a specific purpose. So, I don't know if you are the one the Lord is speaking to you, or maybe you are online. I don't know. There are numbers on our shovel bench. You can reach out to the pastor, and then he will help you to know what the purpose of God is for your life. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the hearing of your word. The Bible says that the entrance of your word brings wisdom. And it is with this wisdom that we can do life in the name of Jesus. My prayer is that we will endeavor to serve God's purpose in our life through the Holy Spirit. that we will not tumble down, or we will not go astray, either to the left or to the right, but we will hear clearly from you, that we will abolish our plans that we have, and we will yield and submit to you, that you may show us the most excellent way, the way of the Spirit. Give you praise, give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to
thanks for joining us online. Thanks for joining us in here. Without the Holy Spirit, as it was rightly said, it is extremely difficult for us to live the Christian life. So the Bible says that when Jesus Christ was living, he said, "It is good that I live, because I live with you a helper, which is the Holy Spirit." Let us go in the power and the might of the Lord. Be open to hear what the Holy Spirit directs us to do, and realize that every step of ours will be directed and it will indeed lead us to a perfect place and ending. The Lord bless you for joining. Have a blessed week. Till we meet next time, next week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.